Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk Inform Fredericksburg this morning. Matt Kelly and Rick Pullen back with us this morning. Did this a few months ago, had a good time, and lots to talk about. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good to have you both here. We're going to jump right into it. Lots of issues and discussions to talk about. Last time you were in, we talked data centers, and since we last talked, early September, you hosted a forum in the city.
Well, we co-hosted a forum with the Rappahannock Area Sierra Club, which was really, really a good discussion in the sense that we finally were able to get people from both sides. We had representatives from the industry, not only representatives from the industry, these are individuals who actually built data centers and what the technical aspects and problems and how they're trying to address the concerns. The biggest problem we had, believe it or not, in putting that together is we had received a lot of feedback at Inform Fredericksburg that, you know, both sides weren't getting out. The information wasn't getting out. The Sierra Club had done a previous event. So we said, okay, we'll work with the Sierra Club and we'll try to get everybody there. But when we asked everybody local to come forward to speak, nobody wanted to do it. And we didn't get our speakers until right almost 24 hours before the event. We finally were able to line up some speakers because nobody local would, other than Monica Gary from Stafford stepped up. Yeah. But other than that, we couldn't get anybody local to speak.
You mean nobody from city council?
Nobody from, we asked the mayor. The mayor said no. We asked some people who actually represent the data industry locally, and they basically said, you've got to have this discussion. But when we asked them to speak, they said no. So we had a hard time getting speakers. But a great, great talk.
Having a hard time getting local speakers makes it difficult.
Well, it's a local issue, and you would assume that people would step up to the plate to talk about it, but that was not the case.
As far as the city goes on this, they're studying several sites? Is that what?
Well, $200,000 of your tax money is going to a study on data centers. Now, basically, it's a study of the Hilton Track, which is between.
No, they're studying Celebrate.
Okay,
that's what
it's
celebrating.
Their best chance of getting a data center is on Hilton Track. And that's between Route 3 and Cowan Boulevard. And that is near the Great Oaks subdivision, the Preserve subdivision on Cowan Boulevard, Hugh Mercer Elementary School, the police department, and then there's a couple of apartment complex, the Commons and Belmont Apartments. And if you know anything about data centers, they make this big humming, buzzing noise, whatever you want to call it, because those are the air conditioners. These air conditioners are as big as tractor trailers.
And they're on all the time, I would guess.
They are on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And in addition to that, they also have generators that they run, I think, once a week, just to, they're backup generators, and just to test them. And so, that makes sense. You got to test them. So you've got all that. So they're not exactly clean. But anyway, so anybody who lives near them is going to get basically for the rest of their life, they're going to hear this buzzing in the background. And so, which is a big deterrent. You know, I mean, it's easy when you're in Stafford County. You can go out and farm somewhere, buy the farm, and have plenty of acreage between you and people who live there. But the city, we're a city. And, and now they're talking, they're also talking to Larry Siller over in the development over there, and trying to get him to stop the building a residential development so they can put maybe a data center there. I'm of the opinion that Silver won't allow it. Matt thinks right price he might allow it, but if he were to, then you might even hear it at baseball games, at our baseball stadium. You would hear it at that development for the retirees over there, across the street from the expo center. I mean, now, granted, it depends on how far you are, what the terrain is. Some of these data centers now are local communities are demanding they put more in, sort of to tamper down the noise. I don't know how you do that. And basically, it's just because you've got all these air conditioning units. And if you want to hear what all the noise is, go to Inform Fredericksburg on Facebook and pull up our videos on the noise, and you will hear it. There's a giant berm. We took you know, recorded the noise, you know, on the other side of the berm, and then we also recorded the noise, you know, in a subdivision right next to one of these. And people live with it 24 hours a day.
Let me add one thing. You're going to get an email and a phone call. One of the points that Rick made is that city taxpayers are paying for the study. The emails will come from council and staff saying, well, no, the EDA is paying for it. Just 2 points on that. The EDA hasn't made a loan, which is where they usually make their money, in decades. All the money that they've received any time recently has been rent payments from the city for the visitor center, sales of city properties where they've been allowed to keep the money. So basically, they are spending city tax dollars. This is money that should have gone back to the general fund, which is now with the EDA. Well,
and here's a question. The state, I think, is it this month, is coming out with its own study on data centers? Is it this month or next month? Sometime at this fall.
This fall, yeah.
Why would the city spend $200,000 a month ago, instead of waiting to see what the state had to say?
It's not only that. And again, this was quoted in one of the local news organizations that the city manager even acknowledged. This is a study that Dominion Power should be paying for, not a locality. So yeah. This kind of gives you an indication of how the city is viewing this. We need to get a data center, whatever it takes. And the thing is, and this came out in the course of the discussions that we had with the Sierra Club group, which was really good, was one, on the one hand, even the industry has acknowledged that we don't want to build data centers near neighborhoods, that we want land, we want space around it. So they're moving away from that.
Because that was the problem in Prince William, wasn't it?
Exactly. Well, they had two neighborhoods.
And that's where you listen to our video, and you'll hear it.
But at the same time, and again, from the industry perspective, they're now working with regards to the water issue. They're now working to the electrical issue, to where they can downsize these, make them smaller, make them more effective. And that's probably about 5 or 10 years down the road. So if you're looking at that, you can say, well, you know what, if we wait a while and the technology catches up, maybe this is something the city could look at. But right now, we seem to be full bore on whatever it takes to get one, as opposed to really looking at where is the technology going, when is the right point for us to jump into it, because it's all comes down to just we want our tax dollars, and we want them now.
Yeah, and let's talk about that for just a sec. We want our tax dollars, we want them now. Stafford County, you know, has passed all the laws it needs to put in data centers. And they estimate in the next decade or so, they will make $500 million in tax revenues from data centers. Their current budget is basically just over $1 billion. So half of their budget, now we're talking 10 years from now, their budget will be over $1 billion, far over $1 billion. But that's how important this is to localities. But when the localities do that, what they don't tell you is they're also raising your electric bill. And because if you talk to people in Stafford County, well, they don't know what's going to happen with Virginia Power or Dominion Power, you know, on your electric bill. That's not their business. They're in the business of providing land and, you know, so they can get the taxes. but Dominion Power doesn't have enough power for all of these data centers. And Virginia is number one in the world for data centers. 80% of them right now are in Loudoun County. But they're growing like wildfire in Prince William County, and basically Google and Amazon are just keep on moving down south, finding space to put them, and they're huge. I mean, they're as big as a football field, and the amount of electricity they use is huge. And what they do, what happens to the electric consumers is, one, you have to pay to have all that infrastructure built because they use so much electricity. And so that, who pays for that? Well, not, you know, the data centers. It's you and me as, you know, electric consumers. We pay for that. And then on top of that, the data centers get these deals on their rates. And so they're paying for the electricity a lot cheaper than you and I are for our homeowners, you know, electricity. So, you know, basically it comes down to, you know, Virginia electric consumers are just getting screwed. Now, that said, the cost of a kilowatt hour nationwide is 19 cents. That's the average. In Virginia, it's only 12.4 cents. So we still got cheap electricity here, but it's going up.
Yeah, because how do you get enough to power all this?
Well, that's it. We don't have enough. I mean, you can build solar power, and that takes care of some of it. But, you know, as we see solar power out in Spotsylvania was very controversial. They finally got it done, and I think it's 1,000 or more acres or something. It takes a lot of space. And, you know, and I think it was the University of Richmond, and I want to say it would be Microsoft or Google. No, it was Amazon, I think, bought all that before it was even built. I mean, they said, we want this power. And, you know, so basically that's gone. And the biggest power plant in Virginia is North Anna Nuclear Power Plant. And I think what you're looking at in the future very soon is serious discussion about building more nuclear power. Because it's clean. In the old days, we thought, you know, it only lasts for 20 years. Now they figured out how to make it last longer. And what I mean by that is they're worried about the radioactivity and all that kind of stuff, and that they couldn't retrofit, you know, the current power plants, which they could now, they can and all that. So the technology has gotten much better.
And in the 70s, North Anna can be expanded, I think.
There's two power plants. They can expand, I think, to four.
Okay.
And one last one on the issue of revenue, it needs to be understood that when we talk about Prince William and we talk about Stafford and we talk about, actually we're looking at Caroline and Spotsylvania and everybody else now, you know, so the question, part of the question is why would one want to take the time and effort to put one in the city when you have all the land and all the ones that are going on around us? I think there's seven projects currently on the books or in the process in and around us for data centers. But the one in the city would probably not be a full-scale sized one that most people think of. It would have to be smaller, supposedly.
Well, they got 180-some acres they could
build it. That's not – you look at some of the acreage that are involved in some of these bigger sites. It's other than Prince William, where they basically have them stacked one right next to the other. And most of the ones in this area have a lot of they actually intentionally put them out there away from things and a lot of space.
And good on Spotsylvania and Stafford. You know, they are. They're putting them where people don't live right now.
Right.
You know, the problem is in the city, there's no way to do that. And so all these communities along Cowan Boulevard and along Route 3, you know, will feel the impact.
Quick break. Rick Poland here, Matt Kelly here in Forum Fredericksburg. If you want to see more about in there, there's a lot of information on a whole lot of issues. A lot of the issues we'll talk about this morning on the Inform Fredericksburg Facebook page. Check that out. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly and Rick Pullen in this morning, Inform Fredericksburg. Again, if you go to the Inform Fredericksburg Facebook page, a lot of information on a lot of different topics that they are looking at in the city. Before we get out of data centers, Rick, you wanted to talk a little bit more about the power
side of this. Electrical consumption. So in 2022, data centers, which, what are they, maybe 100 of them now in Virginia? So just 100?
Yeah.
Individual businesses took 21% of all of the electricity in the state of Virginia. This is 2022. The following year, it jumped to 24%. That's a 3 percentage point in 1 year. These things are going crazy. And it's now predicted that usage will increase by 85% in the next 15 years. It basically means it's almost going to double. And according to the State Corporation Commission, electric rates will double in the next 15 years, not due to consumption, but just to pay for the infrastructure for data centers.
Hmm.
So imagine where our electric rates are going. But that's all I wanted to say about that.
That's an interesting topic, because we don't hear anything about that, about what we're going to end up paying.
Yep.
Well, to that point, in discussions with the Sierra Club, we're hopefully going to be able to put another event on and plans on for December in Spotsylvania County. So keep your eyes out for that. And a lot of this information, new information, we'll keep updating and hopefully bring it forward in later community events like that. And it's amazing that we've got Sierra Club and Inform Fredericksburg doing these events, but not the city or the county doing it.
And one other thing that we talked about electricity, but we haven't talked about water. Now, remember I was talking about all that noise comes from air conditioning units. Well, how do you cool an air conditioner? You cool it with water. So the consumption for each one of these is phenomenal. It's 1 million gallons a day. Now, imagine, what is 1 million gallons a day? Take a football field, or a pool the size of a football field and 10 feet deep. That's 1 million gallons a day. Now, Stafford's being smart about this, and they're setting it up so that they can, in the long term, they'll be recycling water and using runoff water, whatever, basically non-potable water. And, you know, that's really the way you have to go because, I mean, a city certainly couldn't afford that. You know, I mean, we don't have the water capacity, so.
Now, we all remember in the 80s and 90s when there would be water rationing, when it would get dry in the summer, and then the reservoirs, when both Stafford and Spotsylvania built reservoirs that were supposed to take care of this.
Well, the other issue is, and this came out during the Sierra Club Informed Fredericksburg Forum discussion, was that they are moving away from water usage with regards to cooling systems, but that's coming. So again,
it's not the current.
It's not the current
technology.
And that's one of the things you've really got to look at closely. But there are technological advancements coming forward that do make it a little bit better. But again, that's a few years down the road. And we would hope that this discussion will go a lot longer than it seems to be going.
Well, and Caroline
County, we seem to be rushing to the finish line as quickly as we can.
Caroline County wants to make put an intake in on the lower Rappahannock, well, not lower, but Rappahannock east of us, and they're willing to pipe water all the way across the county to basically near I-95 for their industrial uses. And it's just like, you know, if you're going to build industry, if you're going to build data centers, put them near the river if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's crazy what local governments are willing to spend to get these tax dollars. But that's what it's all about. It's the tax dollars that they can reap. And if it costs taxpayers millions of dollars to access the water, if it costs tax dollars millions of dollars, you know, in new electric bills, they don't seem to show any
concern. Seldom do we look at the pros and the cons. Yes, there's revenue, but now you're going to deduct all these other expenses that you're passing on to the community.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, these are all issues a lot of us don't think about. Informed Fredericksburg here this morning, Rick Poland and Matt Kelly here. The visitor center getting ready to move soon in the city, isn't it?
It's interesting that a local news organization posted a big story about, hey, it's about to open. The city, a majority of the cost was covered through the sale of the old visitor center, but didn't mention that, one, the city council directed the staff, and the staff, if you go back and read the staff reports, said that we are not going to spend any general fund revenue on the new visitor center. And yet we're now saying, oh, we covered maybe 50%. And that is not quite correct either, in the sense that the city has been paying rent to the EDA to the tune of a little over $9,000 a month. Again, it was supposed to have opened in December 2023. And now the city is paying rent to the developer who owns it. So take that money that was mentioned in the article, deduct over $200,000 for the rent payments. You look at the fact that the EDA had to take a $600,000 loan and pay it back to buy it. And then to make the deal work with the developer, had to give the developer a $300,000+ loan. So the seller is giving money to the buyer at a 2.5% interest rate when they were getting charged 5.6% on their $600,000 loan. And suddenly all these numbers that are being thrown out about the success story are not quite panning out the way everybody expected.
That is a lot of numbers.
And what is the cost of the new visitor center?
I think 2.4, is it 2.4 million? Of which, basically, when you make all the deductions to the amount that the city got, we're putting let me see. When the last thing I passed with the council was a carryover of $850,000, deduct another $200,000. Oh, by the way, it doesn't include the cost for the improvements for the Economic Development Department and the Big Ugly either. So all of a sudden, you know, what was put out there as a success story. You know, and that's the thing. You know, things change.
Sure.
What you plan does not always happen. But there's a point where, when we talk about transparency, where you have to go, hey, guys, we tried. It didn't work. This is why it didn't work. We're not doing that. What we do is we go out and say, oh my God, everything's great and wonderful. Same thing with the schools. When we first started the discussions with the schools and it was getting up to 50 some odd million dollars, staff came back and said, we'll get at least $20 million of state money. We end up getting a little bit over $8 million of state money and go, wow, look at all the money we got for the schools. Well, wait a minute, didn't we say we were supposed to get 20? I mean, that's the kind of thing that is unfortunate that we that local government does on a pretty regular basis.
Let's speak of schools for one second, because Matt's right. We do all the happy talk, but we're not honest with the public on what this stuff costs. So we're now building a $77 million middle school. That comes out to $481 a square foot. That's what we're spending to build a middle school. Now, what's the national average to build one of these schools? $230 a square foot. So we are more than double what it costs nationally to build a school. Now you say, wait a minute, what about places like New York or Illinois? Well, the average cost in New York is $311 a square foot. And the cost in Chicago is $281 a square foot. And we are paying $481 a square foot.
How does that happen?
Well, look at the school board. And that, the school board never disagrees on anything. And you got to wonder, how does that happen? And I've said it before on this program, they're one of I think, two in the whole region bodies that have their executive session prior to the public session. So I've asked point blank, I've asked a couple of school board members, and they swear to me, no, they don't discuss this stuff in executive session. They don't take votes in executive session. So I have to agree. And if that's the case, then maybe we need some new people on the school board, someone who would disagree about something. I mean, that's the key on public bodies. I mean, we all talk about, we don't want all this arguing and all this these battles all the time, but we need differences of opinion. That's how you come up with good solutions to problems, is when someone disagrees with you. And then you work on a compromise where you try to persuade the other person, hey, my idea is better than yours. We don't have that. We have a city council and a city school board that basically walk in lockstep and agree on everything.
And
when you do that, you overpay for everything. Fredericksburg is, basically... if you want to make money, be a contractor and work for the city of Fredericksburg.
Another aspect of it with regards to transparency is you have the opening of the new school, but you also have the conversion of Walker Grant into another elementary school.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at that, they're looking at spending $4 million of money to do that. But if you go and ask the schools, hey, what's the current status of the project? How's the money being spent? What's the plan? You can't get it. I mean, they cover it at every school board meeting, and staff gets up there and saying, we're still working on it. We just gave a contract out for these services. And you go, well, wait a minute. How did you get the contract? How much was the contract? Who bid on the contract? So when you start asking those questions,
which is all public information.
This should be public information. The school board set up a committee, which included two school board members, yet there are no agendas for meetings, no minutes being kept. And when you ask the question of how much money has been spent, the response from the school board staff was, well, that's already been taken care of. And I'm going, how's that to happen? Well, the schools have $4 million in the city CIP for this project. So when we took that vote, that covers all the votes we need to do. So there's no votes, actual public votes by the school board on allocating any of this money. And if this was done by the city council, I would assume we would be in a lot of trouble.
I'm surprised the school board wouldn't be in a lot of trouble.
They have
state laws.
They have, if you go on their website, they have a committee set up for the name change or the new naming of the schools where they have minutes and an agenda. Yet when they're spending $4+ million, no minutes, no agendas, no public meetings other than a 2-minute statement to the board at meetings going, hey, we're here. No questions or give and take in a public meeting, and that's the way they're operating.
These are your tax dollars.
Inform Fredericksburg. In transparency, we didn't. As you were talking, I was just going to say the Facebook page has all kinds of information, and really, as you look at these topics and anything that you have on your Facebook page, the question always is, you talk about transparency. That's what you're here for.
Right. Yep.
To look at those things,
that's the only goal of Inform Fredericksburg, and we do advocate for only one thing. I mean, as an advocate, not just facts, and that's for transparency.
Rick Pullen, Matt Kelly here. Quick break. We'll be back. More to come on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly's here. Rick Pullen is here. Inform Fredericksburg is our topic, and they are about transparency. Check out the Facebook page. All kinds of information on a lot of these issues. If you haven't thought about them or you hear about them, it gives you a really, I don't know, I guess both of you and others put it all together. So there's a lot of research that goes into that Inform Fredericksburg
page.
Lots
of research. Yeah. And to that point, if people go on the Facebook page and they friend us and like us and everything else, and there's an issue that the public wants to hear more about, you know, let us know and we'll do some research.
Look into it.
Last time we talked about Mary's Landing, and is there anything new on Mary's Landing? Because we talked the last time, and City Council, I guess, to date has not really ever taken a position on this.
No,
they don't have to.
City Council has gone out of its way to say, we are not going to get involved in that, and if you, the public, have any concerns about this project, you are to go to the developer and bring your concerns to the developer. I mean, it is a controversial project, and they don't want to be near it because they don't want to have to make any type of decisions whatsoever, which is not
even though legally
they should. But anyway, the third iteration of the plan has been submitted, and it's not really any significant changes to it. You know, the biggest issues outstanding now is with all the things that the developers put in, they still need an exception on the lot sizes, and usually an exception requires some high hurdles. Either it's a significant need, or it's the project is of significance to the city, and or if they don't grant it, it's basically a borderline taking. They're depriving the developer of a right to use the project or use the land.
And this land is over by the old hospital.
Right, and the lot.
And the big parking lot.
So we've been pushing for staff to give us some indication of where they're going on this issue of an exception. Because if they don't grant the exception, the project goes bye-bye because they can't build it. And they finally responded and basically said, well, we're considering the exception because it'll bring uniformity to the project.
What does that mean?
Uniform setbacks and everything else to the project. And you're going, you know, it has nothing to do with the fact that the project doesn't meet city goals. It doesn't reach the fact that the planning staff, when they did the area plan, made commitments to those neighborhoods who had concerns about density and said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to reduce the density from R12 to R8. So anything above that, it'll have to go through a special use process and community engagement. It's now R16. There is no public involvement per se or process. City taxpayers are going to get stuck with all the needed improvements with regards to schools. And stormwater is still a huge issue.
You took pictures, or you posted pictures with that rain.
And again, it's their position, in which they really haven't done a good job documenting, is that, oh, we're not increasing the stormwater issues in that area. Well, the stormwater issues are already there. There are going to have to be significant improvements to stormwater infrastructure. And now that cost is going to be totally associated.
Is there any expertise in the city about stormwater?
I don't think we have on staff the expertise to look at a set of plans and saying, yes, this is going to work or this is not going to work. But what really concerns a lot of people is, again, commitments made to the community that are not being upheld, goals of the city that are not being met. Every decision that the developer needs to make this project go forward is being given. I mean, every interpretation is being made in favor of the developer, not in favor of the community. So here we are in a situation where the city is asking the city residents to comment on the comp plan. We're looking at overlay districts. We're looking at neighborhood conservation districts. And you've got to start asking the question, how much credibility is the city going to have if it can't follow its own rules or meet its own commitments that it's already made to the public? And I think that's what Mary's Landing represents. It's a message to the city on whether or not you, as a resident, and your views on how you want to see the city develop mean anything.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, the city council should be doing what the city residents want. They just sometimes they go off on their own on some tangent. But here's the big issue. Fredericksburg has sky-high taxes. They've been going up every year for the last several years. Taxes and utilities. Mm-hmm. This is only going to drive them higher because and they're already scheduled. Next year, your taxes probably go up another 10% and another 10% or whatever, because we've got some major, major expenditures coming up, basically the wastewater treatment plant, which will be the biggest expenditure the city has ever made. So we've already got that lined up and taxes are going up. And now we're adding on something that will add to the tax burden, simply because this will have a lot of kids in it, and kids are not cheap. You know, I mean, this is not the development that Larry Silver's building over in Central Park or wherever, and where he's deliberately trying to create a residential community that will actually add $1 million a year to the tax rolls, and which is very difficult to do because basically residential costs money. Until your kids are out of school, until it's, you know, and you're just paying taxes and you really don't demand too many city services, you know, you're a drain on the taxpayers. You know, we've all been through it. I had young kids go through city schools. I reaped that. But and for a while the city didn't want more residential because, you know, it was costing them too much. And they said, well, we got to get more economic development, which goes back to our original discussion on the data centers and why they're so desperate to have data centers.
Yeah, for the money. So how, were you saying something, Matt?
Yeah, it's what's the sad thing about this to me is this is a big enough issue that has impacts that go far beyond, as we've just talked about, just a project. And this is something the city council should step in and say, hey, we need to understand what's going on. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? And not basically stepping back and saying, we have washed our hands of this. We have it. Not only that, we couldn't get individual members of council to respond. So it was one letter from the mayor saying, here's your answer. We consider it a by right project, which is not. That's debatable. And then the question becomes, why are you immediately going to the developer's view instead of the community's view? And if you've got questions, you go to the developer with your questions. I mean, what other local bodies in this area do you think would answer their community in such a manner? That is just, I can't fathom that.
And how do you fight it? The only way to fight it is to sue City Hall. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's going to be lawsuits, you know, which are going to cost the taxpayers because city council won't do its job.
So how do we find, in this case, because usually any kind of a development, there's a vote on it. We know after the vote we're going to go. How do we find out?
At some point, the staff is going to announce their decision on approving the project, and that's what we're waiting for.
Which they will approve, yeah.
I don't think there's every step of the way the staff has bent over backwards to accommodate this project, which again doesn't meet city goals in any way, shape, or form. It basically is telling a community that all the promises we made to you are not going to be kept because we feel that 1891 lot lines trump city goals, which is
City zoning, current city zoning.
It's just amazing.
How will it look in that area? Because I'm just trying to picture that area in what it's, this...
You have basically a smaller community of one-and-a-half-story houses, for the most part, that are around it and around the hospital. And then these will basically be three-story townhomes, yeah.
Okay. Selling for, what,
$600,000 plus.
So it's not even affordable housing.
Yeah. You mentioned, Matt, talked about neighborhood conservation districts. What are those?
Neighborhood conservation districts, believe it or not, have actually been part of the city comprehensive plan since, you can go back to the 2015 plan, which is frankly the last one we have. And basically what it is, there was concern that traditional neighborhoods were going to get overcome by redevelopment and outsized homes or more expensive homes. And we would start losing our affordable housing stock. It comes down to an issue of affordability. And if you go around the city, and we've posted photographs where you can see, here's a small little one-story, nice little one-story bungalow-type house next to two three-story, basically, houses. And so what a neighborhood conservation district would do is saying, in certain neighborhoods, if the neighborhood agrees to do it, this has to be initiated by the neighborhood, we want to make sure development in our neighborhood is consistent with the existing type of development. Not mimic it, but stays within certain parameters. At the last work session on this topic, because it's also listed as a priority for the council on their council list, Jason Graham asked it to be pulled. And other council members questioned why it was on there, because they didn't discuss it at the last retreat. And the mayor and Councilor McIntosh said, no, we can keep it for a discussion, but it needs to be understood that just because we're discussing it doesn't mean we're going to approve it. In fact, Mr. McIntosh went far as to say, hey, if we keep it on our priority list and we vote it down, we've still achieved that priority. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of support within the council, because the general consensus of councils, we want more density, we want higher and bigger buildings. We want to go back to the ADU discussion, and they seem to think that if we try to maintain these older neighborhoods around the city, that that gets in the way of bigger, more density in the city. And that's the fundamental difference that's going on in the city right now, that discussion.
And Arlington is going through this too, and a court case just shut it down. You know, said that the Arlington Board of Supervisors couldn't do this, so they've got to do it a different way. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so.
Well,
it's you know, the citizens do have some say, but you know, city council. It's funny. I mean, we elect these people, and then they do just the opposite of what the majority wants.
We've been talking about community
character
for years.
They're so determined, as Matt said, you know, to increase the density in the city. And they also talk about affordability, and yet then they allow Mary's Landing, which is not affordable housing, and they refuse to create a housing authority which could help with affordable housing. But city council won't do that. So what, you know, they speak out of both sides of their mouth.
We've had plans to deal with affordability since 2008, 2009, when George Washington Commission did an affordable housing plan, which was redone in 2021 with the same recommendations. We know what we need to do, we're just not willing to do it. And if you look at the model that is pointed to by some of the members of council, oh, Alexandria, that's a perfect model. Well, look at Alexandria's taxes, look at Alexandria's density, and tell me it's cheaper to live there than it is in the city. It's not. This whole concept of just build more is going to make it cheaper is just absolutely insane.
And
frankly,
again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that residential construction does not pay for itself. I mean, in tax-wise.
So as we talk about the conservation districts and even affordable housing, I know the comprehensive plan is being discussed. How hopeful are you that the comprehensive plan will speak to some of the things that, as we've talked about, that the community may want?
I think the biggest change coming out of the comprehensive plan thus far is, and again, you got to kind of question how much impact is community involvement going to have in it, seeing that we seem to be saying we want community character, we want to maintain our historic feel on our small town feel, yet the council seems to be going in a totally different direction. But having said that, there is concern that when it comes to preservation and character, that the council seems to want to water that down a little bit and not really focus anymore on maintaining the city's historic character. It's all about building high, building big, building dense now, and not maintaining the character of the city anymore.
It's interesting. I was on Route 1 yesterday and just looking at some of the fast food places and the quick lube places and all that when you're driving along, and it's just so ugly. And you drive downtown, and it's just like, it really still is a nice town. But you just look on William Street and see how it's changing.
It's changing quickly.
You know, I mean, they're building four, I guess they're all, I think they're limited to four stories, or is it five? Story buildings, you know, and that's what we're looking at. I mean, they will start tearing down some of these old historic buildings downtown and just, you know, not try to preserve them. And, you know, city council can get away with that. They're in charge.
Quick break. Inform Fredericksburg. Matt Kelly, Rick Poland here this morning. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Inform Fredericksburg. Matt Kelly, Rick Pullen here this morning. Inform Fredericksburg. Check out their Facebook page for information and in discussions on a lot of these topics. Rick is someone who is I first became acquainted with you with opening the paper every day and seeing Rick Pullen, freelance star. Media has certainly changed. I mean, I know when there used to be a table at City Council where we all would sit and yep. it would be filled, and the table is not used for media anymore because there's not many of us around.
Yep, there was a forum recently in which I think they concluded there were 7 reporters covering the entire region. Freelance Star, when I was there, had 17 reporters, and the entire news crew, including photographers, editors, was close to 30. It grew to 70 in the newsroom before the internet started destroying newspapers. Now they're down to, I think, 2. They just laid off their sports editor, mm-hmm. and they laid off Donnie Johnson. You know, and this is Lee Enterprises owns them. They bought a lot of papers from Warren Buffett. Warren always loved newspapers. He had a long history with them, but he realized they were going downhill, so he got rid of them. And so basically, Lee Enterprises is paying off Warren Buffett. And so they do that by laying off more and more people. Fortunately, we have a couple of online newspapers, well, actually in a third, I don't know what you call the one that's on Facebook, who are trying to cover and trying to make up some of it. The Fredericksburg Free Press just passed 8,000 400 subscribers, which is huge. I know the Advance has well over 2,000, maybe 3,000 now. I don't know. I don't know what their latest numbers are. So they're trying. I think the Freelance Star, I'm not quite sure where they are, but I believe they're around 5,000 or 6,000. I don't know. Part of it is, you know, Freelance Star still charges, and they're doing everything they can to get you to go online instead of get the paper newspaper. And
yeah.
In the next year or two, they will just drop the paper copy because it's too expensive for them, you know, to deliver it, print it, all that kind of stuff. And when they do that, at least that'll help with deadlines, because their deadline now is like 6 p.m. or something. So you want to read next day's sports and Freelance Star, you can't. You can try online, but you can't see it in print. We at Inform Fredericksburg are not really journalism as such. We're different in that we do research and we dig into stuff. We're the only ones who really do a lot of digging, and that's because we're not daily. You know, we can take our time and dig into some topic. Whereas these others, you know, they have to deliver stories every day, and God bless them, they are working their butts off. I mean, but when you have 2 reporters, 3 reporters trying to do it all, they just can't. And that's the reality of journalism. And you know, as long as we have so few reporters, you know, covering our region, you know, I mean, there's nobody covering right now full-time City Council. Nobody.
Yeah. And nobody. It gets to the point where, and again, Rick and I have this, well, we're always going back and forth. Rick looks at it as a journalist. I look at it as a policy wonk, somebody who gets into the numbers and everything else like that. And we have this little bit of tension when we post stuff.
Us?
But you know, again, like the story on the Visitor Center. Oh, great, wonderful. It's covered most of the costs. And you know, when you look at the actual numbers, that's not the case. And that's not anything to say against necessarily the reporter, because you know, Rick and I have been around a long time, so we know where to look, we know what to do the research. One of the issues you have now is you've got a relatively young group that's doing this, and they don't have the institutional knowledge to where to go and what that. And again, with the and I understand the deadline and the whole 800 words, which is a column, and then you've got to stay within 800 words.
Well, no, news stories don't.
News stories. But, you know, it's a lot of information's not getting out there that needs to be out there, and I think there's been a tendency to lean on press releases. And
a lot of relying
on press releases, which is not
tell one side of the story,
giving you the real picture, and that's a problem. And we're trying to fill in a little bit of that on occasion.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing what the others are doing. We're all sort of filling in a piece of this or a piece of that. They tend to write more feature stories. Ours tend to be more hard news. And I wish they would, you know, the online ones now. Well, even the Freelance Star would do more hard news, because there's plenty going on around here. You just have to search for it and dig for it. But again, that takes longer. And so we're at an advantage because we are not daily.
Again, go to you're on Facebook, but you're also on another
platform. We're now on Substack. If you want to sign up for us on Substack, we have if you go online, you can see it. We post it on the Facebook page. We've also got basically a website page. And we're also going to be using Twitter and Instagram to kind of give everybody a heads up of what we're working on. And we'll do a visitor center story, which gives you a lot more detail there. We still owe you a stormwater, wastewater treatment plant story, which will be really interesting. And of course, we'll continue following all the other projects and things that are going on in the city.
Matt Kelly, Rick Pullen, and Inform Fredericksburg, thank you both. And we'll get together and talk again real soon.
Great
thank you.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.